A Signals on 91.3 Lagos Talks. This morning, we'll be looking at entrepreneurship in 2023. I have with me, and special thanks to Yomi Nash. So where do I start this story from? I was supposed to have interviewed her a long time ago. I kept jumping. Now I'm back. She attended the Lagos Business School EDC in 2009 as a Goldman Sachs scholar, where she obtained a certificate in entrepreneurial management. She served with the federal government led a reformation committee, which was mandated to create a leader policy for Nigeria. She's also a Faith Foundation volunteer, a trained mentor. And in 2002, she founded a leather brand, Mona Matthews, which designs and retails high-quality handmade leather shoes and bag, and has run it successfully since then. She's a mother of two beautiful kids, and she also serves as a minister at the Covenant Nation. Backtrack a bit, she's also on the faculty of the Joseph Business School, JBS Lagos, an international faith-based business school with campuses in several countries. I have with me, joining us, Mona Lisa Abimbola Aze. She recently, so I'm supposed to say Mrs. Abimbola, I'm coming. She recently celebrated her 60th. So happy birthday, mom. And we go straight to entrepreneurship in 2023. Haven't run the Mona Lisa brand. No, I've already renamed the brand, the leather brand Mona Matthews. Has it been like entrepreneurship in 2002 and in 2023? What's the difference?
There's a huge gap. There's a huge difference. In 2002, if you wanted to send an email, you had to leave your house, go to a business center, pay 100 naira to stay on somebody's computer for 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Only the rich and the famous had mobile phones. A few of us had land phones in our houses, but you know, that was only for voice, you know. So yes, I mean, the face of business has changed tremendously, and it's thanks to technology, innovation, you know. The world has become a global village. I can easily stay in my house and sell to someone in Japan because of technology, you know. Also, in those days, you had to have a huge advertising budget, because the only way you could be seen and heard is if you were on radio like this, paying thousands of naira. Mm-hmm. If you were on television, or if you were on the billboards or on the faces of newspapers. Today, with a good social media plan, you know, you can be reaching the world from your phone, you know. Let's bring it back to Nigeria, talking about what I do, which is leather products, shoes and bags. 2002, when I started, even the concept of wearing Nigerian shoes was almost unheard of amongst my target audience, you know. I remember the first pair that I made, someone saw them, I said, "Whoa, I like your shoes. Where did you get them?" I said, "I designed them." They looked at me like, as if I said I went to outer space to obtain the shoes, you know. So, but today we have the leather fair. There are many huge leather brands in Nigeria, amongst whom Mona Matthews is one, you know, to the glory of God. And then, of course, with the naira dollar somersaulting.
I like the word somersaulting.
Yes, now he's doing aerobics and gymnastics. There's a lot also that's going on, both positive and negative, you know. I like to look on the bright side, though. And I say to people, if you go to a party today, just look around and see what people are wearing. I'm sure that at least 95% of the people there will be wearing clothes that are made in Nigeria, will be wearing some form of jewelry or the other that they bought in Nigeria, or that was made to, you know, put together for them in Nigeria. Handbags, good leather handbags, or even fabric Ankara, Adire handbags, you know. And then shoes, you know. So you can practically go kitted, fully kitted with a Nigerian, all made in Nigerian outfit from head to toe these days, you know. Then the one that sweets my belly pass, you know, in 2002, if you were getting married, you will go for the famous wedding shopping. in the abroad. Today, the abroad is coming to Nigeria for wedding shopping. So our shippers are shipping out Ashoke. They are shipping out jewelry. They're shipping out Mother Matthew's shoes and bags. They're shipping out perfume, fragrances, you know. They're shipping out all sorts of things. Don't mention the food. The food is going out in container loads because as Nigerians are jackpying, they are jackpying with their food.
Yes,
they don't use their food to play. Excuse my English. We don't play with our food. We don't play with our culture. We don't play with our clothes, you know, and all of that is happening. So I look at both sides of the coin and I say it really is an interesting time to be in business in Nigeria.
Now, with having a law degree and having a love for leather bags, it's an LL. You move from law L to leather L. What informed your decision?
I've actually not ever thought of it like that.
I looked at it this morning and I was like, okay, you move from L1 to L2. Why did you move?
Okay, so when I'm joking, right, I say the reason I changed is because everybody needs to wear shoes, but not everybody wants to have a lawyer. I'm joking, you know.
Everybody now needs to get a lawyer because you had to sign some contracts. So you're still not, well, you're not out of business.
Depends on what you are doing. I mean, if you are in paid employment, You sign your employment contract, but I mean, that's about it. You don't need a full-time lawyer, but you need to wear shoes every day. True, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes. So, but seriously, the first thing that made me start making shoes was my feet. I have wide feet. I found it difficult to find good leather shoes. And then I found that as the Naira was losing value, the quality of the shoes that were coming into the country were getting lower and lower. So it was getting very difficult for me to get real leather, good quality shoes. And then I have one foot that is bigger than the other, so when I was much younger and we were buying leather shoes, it would the bigger one would stretch a bit, you know. But I got to a point where it was almost like hell. There was even one year I remember I traveled, I went abroad, I shopped for shoes, and I came back with like two or three pairs of slippers, not anything near what I needed, you know. And so I now noticed that people in the lower income brackets were wearing real leather shoes. You know, you look at the messenger in your office, he's wearing leather sandals. You look at your driver, he's wearing leather sandals. I'm like, what's going on?
What are they seeing that you're not seeing?
Exactly. So I started asking questions and I found out that there's a leather market where they sell real leather. There were artisans who were making leather. Excuse me. I will wear a shoe. So that's how I jumped inside. I started designing shoes for my own needs, you know. And like I said, okay, the very, 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 very first one I got, one obstinate shoemaker told me that he only makes shoes for men, that he doesn't make for women. I said, okay, make for me. So he made me this very frightfully ugly pair of sandals, and I wore them. They were real leather. And then somebody else saw them, and he was like, your shoes are so ugly. Where did you get them from? So that he made them. He was like, Kai, I know somebody that makes female shoes now. So he introduced me to a better shoemaker, right? So if I hadn't worn those ugly ones, I wouldn't be where I am today. I mean, that's the absolute truth. So from one introduction to the other, you know, but again, like at this time, I was making for myself. But I remember that a friend saw that first pair and she took them off me. Then my mom saw one of the ones I made for myself. She asked me to make her a pair. She ordered it. I collected my money from her. You know,
you didn't even pity Momsi at all.
I couldn't take my money at that time. But I mean, towards the end of her year life, I think towards like the last 10 years or so, she was a faithful Mona Matthews customer. And she had invested so much, she didn't have to pay again. She was on the board. But so seriously, that's how the journey started. And when I decided to go into it as a business, I had a chat with a friend of mine. I said, look, this is what I want to do. I want to start making shoes. I don't want to run a factory. I want to outsource production. And he said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how Nike operates. They don't run a factory. They design and then they retail or they, you know, they sell. So that's how I got the model that we use for Mona Matthews today. You know, I started from my living room. I put the shoes on the floor. But I went to business school. Because he advised me to go and do a business course. And I think that that's one of the things that God has used to help me to stay this long in the business.
Okay, so are you saying that if you had not gone to business school, you would not have been able to manage the brand as it is right now? Because for some of us,
I wouldn't even have known that there's something called a brand. Remember, we're talking about 2002.
Yeah.
You now know about brands because
it's everywhere. You know, it's almost like a buzzword.
Exactly. But in those days, it was new. I heard about it in the school for the first time.
Mm.
And I realized that even though I was working from my living room, I could actually create a brand. In fact, the name Mona Matthews was actually given to me by a friend in the Faith Foundation classroom. Because I was making the shoes, I wasn't putting any name. And they were asking me, I said, I want to put my name up in Bola. They said, only me and my close relations will buy it. I should not even think about it. So he was like, what? And he was an advertising person, you know. So he said, okay, so what are your names? I said, well, you know, just casually, off the cuff, my first name is Mona Lisa, and my father's first name was Matthew, you know. And he was like, Mona Matthews. I mean, it sounds so easy.
Yeah,
now,
it sounds so foreign.
I'm telling you, but it was hard for me to get to that point. But with the help of my friend, you know, and God, we got there. Mona Matthews was born.
Okay, now that it has been born, and it has taken you several journeys, because for a brand, for a business, it takes you on different journeys. Now,
yes.
I'm seeing that you served on the Federal Government Leather Reformation Committee. Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, so I got the invitation to serve on this committee. And what happened was, the report at the time was that after oil, leather was the second highest foreign exchange generator for Nigeria, you know. And but it didn't look as if as a nation, as a government, as a people, that we actually understood and appreciated what was going on, you know. So the federal government put together a committee to look into the figures, to look into the facts, to investigate, and come up with a policy to government to say, this and these are the steps that the government needs to take to assist the private sector to maximize the leather that's available in Nigeria. And in the process, I found out so much about leather in Nigeria. I found out that the so-called Italian leather actually comes from Sokoto, just like Zambia, just like Italian marble comes from Zambia. But that's beside the point, you know. I found out that a lot of the leather leaves our shores in almost the raw form, or maybe just the first stage of preservation, you know, and it's taken out of the country, it's processed, and then it's brought back to us and sold to us as a premium, you know. I found out that there are different levels of the value chain, different actors in the value chain, you know. And so we sat down with this think tank and came up with a policy to guide government in what decisions it needs to make, you know, to help. And this was way back during Goodluck Jonathan's
regime.
Yes, during his regime.
Aziz,
and but thankfully, the policy did come out during Buhari's administration, and work is currently being done. Part of it is that banning of pomo. Those of you that like to eat pomo, see your face.
You have to go there.
I have to reach there and enter there.
Pomo just got a sub straight away like that.
A serious sub, you know. So the leather that leaves from the north essentially is goat skin, ram skin, the major slaughter that goes on during Ramadan. A lot of those skins are harvested, you know. We had a lot of factories in the north, some of them tanneries that, you know, tan and convert the skins to leather, you know. A lot of it is being used at the moment. More can still be harvested and used properly. So there's hope.
Anytime I hear shoes, they say our shoes are made in Aba. Have you been to Aba, the Aba market?
No, I've never been to Aba market, but I've worked with people. I have, you know, a network that does things for me in Aba and all of that, but personally, I've not been able to go because there's been a lot of stuff going on around there.
So let's look at this I don't even know. Should I call it shoes? Should I call it leather? Should I call it footwear? The footwear industry. Good.
Okay.
And so far, haven't been one of the early players. Have you seen other players? And have we been able to strike a balance with... for a very long time, we like to wear footwears from abroad. So if they say, oh, my uncle sent me a shoe, I like it, but I don't want to wear my own country's shoe. The distinct between it.
Like I said, I like to look at the positive side of everything. COVID helped a lot of people to know that Nigerian shoes are actually better than a lot of those in their abroad shoes. Please, everybody listening on radio, put up your hand. If after COVID, some of your shoes did not spoil,
Heat.
Is anybody
the whose heat, shoes heat did not spoil a lot of shoes? COVID? We did not go anywhere.
But you know, what happened was we started a repair business. We had done it, we had had it for a while, but we actually started it in earnest after COVID because a lot of people were bringing shoes that they had that were imported. Some were even really good names, you know. And they just found out that the shoes were crumbling and, you know, they were getting spoiled. Dust, you know, they were disintegrating. And people were even saying things like, oh, is the weather? I'm saying, I've been around for 60 years. Our weather has always been the same. The weather cannot suddenly be by spoiling your shoes. When we were young, if they bought you school shoes, Bata, Cortina, you wore them and pass them to the next generation.
You will wear
the
shoe,
ever threw away those shoes. Yes. So how is it all of a sudden that our weather is now spoiling shoes? I said, no, weather is not spoiling any shoes. It is the quality of the shoes that are being mass produced and the value that you are able to pay for the shoes you are buying. Even if you go and buy them abroad, if you are buying $10, $5, $15 shoes, some companies, even some brands, some big names abroad, even make deliberately, they have a policy. They don't use real leather because they have some people who are vegans, who love animals more than they love their feet. So they wear non-leather shoes and they are promoting non-leather. That's their own, how they are seeing it and how they are feeling it.
The climate.
Let me just come back to where I am, where I was going. So we use real leather in Nigeria. A lot of the brands that you know, who are making shoes, because we have a huge market where they sell real leather, you know, and we pride ourselves that we use leather. It's like people who sell gold. Someone who sells real gold will never sell you anything that is not real gold. It's part of their ethos. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
So if you want to buy gold, and if you're buying the shoes, you have to pay a premium. Because your so-called imported shoes are not real leather, number one. Number two, they're not handmade. Because of where we find ourselves in Nigeria today, the value of our currency, the infrastructure and all of that, a lot of our shoes are handmade. A lot, you know. And so what that means is they take a long time to produce. But they last long. I went to a fair 2 weeks back at Chevron. And I was still trying to introduce myself to a potential customer. And she looked at me and said, I know you now. You made my wedding shoes. When?
That's
she said,
good.
20 years ago. I said, sure. And I'm still wearing them. Listen to me. She works for Chevron, so she's not poor. That she's still wearing those shoes after 20 years means that they are still good. They're still good quality. And they are relevant, stylish. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm just selling made in Nigeria. I'm just letting people know out there that you're better off buying shoes, even from your neighborhood shoemaker who is working with leather. You're putting food on his table. You're sending his children to school. You're putting a roof over his head, you know, in addition to doing your feet a favor by wearing real good leather shoes.
Now, let's come to design. So we've talked about leather. I want to circle back to when you talked about the shoemaker, the first shoemaker that made you ugly shoes in quotes. Is it that we lack design? Because what makes us buy foreign footwear versus our own is because, oh, it's not stylish. And you know Nigerians are stylish.
Yes, we are really stylish.
We are That's stylish people.
Nigerians are extremely stylish. In fact, one of the things that happens is that if you go abroad or if you see a photograph of black people abroad, you can almost always point to the Nigerian because we're extremely stylish. I remember I went to an exhibition in Dubai. It was an international exhibition and I was part of the Nigerian contingent through the Export Promotion Council, you know. And the people who were buying my shoes, because of the kind of style that we have, they're actually Nigerians. Do you understand? Mm. So let me go back to style and all of that. Because most of us are small businesses, right? Mm. We don't have the full complement of
the foreign footwear
personnel that you need to run a proper footwear business. So if you were talking about the bigger brands, the person that is designing is just designing. The person that is doing quality control is just doing quality control. The person that is marketing, in fact, that is a whole industry. That's a whole part of the company, or maybe they've even outsourced sales and marketing. Do you understand?
Yes.
But hey, in Nigeria, it is you that is MD.
CEO.
It is you that is driver. You are the marketer. You are the designer. You are quality control. And for some other people, you are the manufacturer. You are the one that is actually making the shoes. Do you get?
Yeah, the whole chain in one person.
Me, I'm even a bit lucky. I get to design and I get to sell. But, you know, and then, of course, you know, you handle your social media. Social media is another work on its own. As beautiful as it is, it's full-time. When I go for trainings, I'm like, excuse me, please, I have a day job. Social media is like side hustle. As in, I want to sell the products that I'm making, but I still have to design and make the product and then come and be selling them. That one is another full-time work, you know.
Mm.
But you see, the good thing about it is that you're learning on the job. We have we have opportunities that some bigger brands don't even have. During COVID, after COVID, a lot of companies closed down. Huge names, big brands closed their shops, you know. And little me, I was still able to duck and dive and still survive, you know. And I know we will still survive. Nothing, anything that happens. Nigeria don't they carry last.
Okay.
You know, we will still make it.
I like the fact that you are giving us ginger. Because we're discussing entrepreneurship in 2023, it's not funny. And I begin to wonder that for a lot of huge factories who have been here for a very long time, I wonder and shudder that they're closing down. And we as, let me not say small businesses, growing businesses are still trying to navigate. What's the difference between us and those big brands who are shutting down?
First and foremost, when they were writing their financial plans, their business projections, their business plans and all of that, they imagined that Naira would remain at a certain value to the dollar for the next how many years. They imagined that inflation would increase at 3% per annum for the next 30 years. They imagined that GDP would be XYZ, you know, and all of that and all of that.
The P is not Dean, it's not Gene.
They based their investments. They built their factories, they employed their staff, they fixed their salaries, you know, based on all of that, you know. Mm. But for a smaller business, first of all, during COVID, I was able to tell my staff, listen, we're not selling. Mm. In fact, I remember when somebody was asking me for shoes, in my mind, I'm like, where are you going that you want to buy shoes? You know, the few weddings we had, the bride had it in her living room with her parents and all of that. You know, so I told my staff, stay in your house, do your work from home, I'll pay you 50% of your salary, you know. And how many staff did I have? Because I was also operating a business based on outsourcing. I didn't have a heavy salary, what do you call it?
System.
I was paying salary across board for the shoemakers and all of that. I was just paying for my office staff, so to speak. Mm. So we're able to manage, do you understand? And then the business itself, we were making a lot of shoes, different types of shoes, office wear, things like that. But when I noticed that during COVID, a lot of people were talking about health, you know, and we were making sneakers. And initially, when I started making my sneakers, I used to tell people, my sneakers are for shakara, or they are not for exercise. Even me, myself, I said I wear the shoes to exercise in the house, to walk around, to keep fit during COVID and everything. So I started marketing them as exercise shoes. And they were strong enough, they're still strong enough, you know, and all that. So where am I going with all of this? When you are smaller, you are nimble. Mm. You can make decisions faster. You can change. If you haven't borrowed money, it's easy to, you know, but if you've borrowed money or you have investors, you know, and all of that, you have liabilities that keep growing, you know. So advice about business today, stay small. When I say stay small, think big, but start small. Manage your resources. Cut out excesses, things you don't need, you know. If your packaging used to cost you 2K, find a way of arranging the packaging. Let it be pretty but cheaper. cheap and cheerful, bright colors, you know, things like that. You don't need to employ all the staff. Some of them can work from home on contract basis. When you need them, you bring them in. You know, so there are different things that we can do that they may not be able to do. The law also, if you're a limited liability company, there's some laws, there's some things you just have to do, you know. And if you're that size and carrying that much burden, then it's a bit difficult. But for the smaller ones, the growing ones, you can make your mistakes small, learn from them, and keep moving.
Okay, it's Signals on 91.3. We're discussing entrepreneurship in 2023 with Mona Lisa Abimbola Aze. Now, let's go back to, you talked about you having to go to business school, right? For entrepreneurs who, yes, they have the idea and all of that, do we still need to go to business school?
Ah, you need to go to business school. I told you, it's in business school I learned that Mona Matthews is a brand. And I treated it as a brand from day one. And I had, you know, I was blessed to have a brand, a branding company. Way back then, I started doing my branding, the visual branding, you know. Then I also learned what it means to be a brand. Do you understand? You must be authentic. You must have a face. There must be something, some things that you stand for, you know, integrity and all of that. The way you run the business, pay your tax, you know, all of it. And I think that, so I met a young man recently who is also in my industry. And he was just making the shoes, selling them. When I saw the shoes, no name. There's no name on your shoes. He said, yes. He sells online. He uses those platforms, different platforms, you know, to sell and all of that. I said, but, and then now something changed in the way he was able to sell. And he's now not able to sell as he used to. And I said, listen, you didn't start a business. You were just trading, so to speak. Do you understand?
Yeah.
There's more to running a business than just buying and selling. You can have a very high turnover. You think you are making profit. And you might even be making profit, but you're diverting it to the wrong things and the wrong places. You're not, you know, and then if one little thing, and then you're off out of the business. So business school is very important. It teaches you the ethics of business. It teaches you the essentials. You know, it's like a foundation that whatever you build on it stands. And there will be storms, there will be calamities. But if the foundation is right, trust me, the roof can go. But hey, you can build another roof.
Okay, 009, if you have questions for our guests, 009-234-5913. You can send us a WhatsApp message, 009-234-5913. Or call us, 0809-191-3913. Or 0809-222, that's two in three places, 0913-01515-1913. Send us a WhatsApp message to 0809-234-5913. Your business has been going strong since 2002, and you mentioned calamities and storm. How can one raise the bar as an entrepreneur in business?
First and foremost, God is very important. You need to pray. You need to know him and love him and serve him and read his word and get direction from him. If I tell you I did it otherwise, I'll be lying. So let's just get that out of it.
Okay.
Sorted. Number two, you need mentors. You need people you can speak with. You know, and when I say mentors,
hold your thought, ma'am. Hold your thought.
Idol worshipping people, you know.
Pause a little bit. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Please reduce the volume of your radio set.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, please. Your name and where are you calling us from?
My name is Isaac. I'm calling from Equator.
Okay, welcome, Isaac. Question or comment?
I want to ask, where can we get a business school?
Okay. She would answer. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, Isaac is asking, ma'am, where can we get business school?
Business schools?
Yes.
There's FATE Foundation, FATE Foundation. Look for them online. They're very active online. There's also Lagos Business School. Faith Foundation is in Ilukweju. Lagos Business School is at Aja. So choose the one that works for you. And most of them have hybrid lectures. At least Faith does. So you can actually do online and in-person classes.
Hmm. So back to you. The calamities and storms and mentors.
Yeah. So mentors help you to stay focused, help you to fact check your ideas. They also, they're like a sounding board, you know, someone you can talk to and who can just like guide you. Then I can't talk about studying, reading information, you know. And thankfully these days there's so much information online that I mean there are some lies, some people just post stuff, you know. But seriously,
through those lies and get the original,
that's where the Holy Spirit will help you. But the truth is that the more educated you are, the easier it is for you to discern if somebody's telling it the lie, or, you know. And if it's only one person saying something and 10 people are saying the other, you should be able to gauge now. Mm. But just read the basics. Get the books. Read the basics, you know. Study. Ask questions. Be inquisitive. Attend workshops. Follow people who are doing what you're doing. Yes. Follow who know road. Have you heard they say?
Yes, that's the word. Follow who know road.
follow who know road. Now, if you are in an industry, follow the leaders of that industry in Nigeria and globally. You know, so I had my own shoe mentors, Manolo Blahnik, and a few others, and you just follow them. Yes, now if you can't buy $2,000 shoes, at least you buy my own.
Okay. Olamide is asking on WhatsApp, do you train people that handcraft these items, and how do you source for the best hands that will bring to life the design?
Interesting question. Do I train? Yes, I train. Depending on what the person wants. So my trainings are one-on-one at the moment. They're not group, because different people want different things. Mm. So I train people in the business of shoemaking. So if you want to run that business, I don't make shoes myself, and I don't know how to make shoes, but I know what good shoes are like. I've been wearing them for 60 years. Abby? Okay, yes. 50, maybe 59.
And 59 and
they have. And I was born when Naira was 1-to-1 with the whatever. Yes, now you don't know there was a time like
we
that.
We should be.
In fact, there was a time when Naira was better than the dollar. Dollar was like less than Naira during my lifetime.
Wait, it's still your lifetime. Don't go anywhere yet. Don't go anywhere yet. Is there a way? Because I sometimes dream about it. Like, just want to think about it, that would we ever go to 1-to-1? Not one.
Well, what is it that those countries have that we don't have? They make things. They're industrialized. They're innovative. They have technology. They have industries. They make. We're going there to buy. We have to change the narrative. People should come and buy from us. The more people buy from us, the lower we will be demanding foreign exchange. Mm. For instance, even though we're making these shoes in Nigeria, about 95%, in fact, what I say is my shoes are made in Nigeria, yes. But almost everything I use to make the shoes are from the abroad. Mm. It's only the shoemakers that are made in Nigeria. But the shoes themselves, you know, but so a lot of that has to change. The private sector and the government collaborating together, we have to be intentional about it. Countries like Singapore, India, in Dubai, in our presence, they change the narratives of their countries.
Okay.
In our lifetime,
ma'am, you know, just hold on. We have a message from architect Olalekan, and he says, business in 2023 is a tsunami, especially with the persistent surge in FX. How do you cope with staffing issues? Artisans, now it says that artisans have been a worry for my business. They receive payment without delivering to time, and they give all sorts of excuses for their ineptitude and dereliction of duty. Whoops, that's some that somebody's angry with the assistants. So how does
this is what I do. I tell my staff that my customers are, that I am the buffer between them and the artisans. So I have to anticipate the artisans' problems, weaknesses, and strengths. They're human beings. I study them. I give them, I surround them with a, how do you say it? An enabling environment. I give them loans, interest-free loans. When they want to buy machines, when they want to do stuff, I give them. Then I charge my customers well so that we can make amendments. If, for instance, we make a pair of shoes and the customer is not satisfied with it, what we do is we make you another pair, right? Now, to the artisan, if he makes me a pair that is not satisfactory to me as his customer, and he doesn't get paid. So we, what we do is we pay you 50%, you buy the materials, make the shoes. When I am satisfied, I pay you your balance, you know. And I've done that for years. And they've learned that there's no point giving me a shoddy job. I will not take it. Then I make sure that I have backup. I try not to have only one artisan that is able to do that one pair, you know. So I have backup. I have 2-3 levels of backup. So if you mess up, somebody else will do it. And if I bring out a new design, I give 2 or 3 of you to do the design. So nobody can be feeling like he has arrived on top of my own design. What is that?
You know? So let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. For artisans that you have worked with in times past, what do you think is... I don't want to use the word wrong. What do you think affects them that makes them not to deliver on time? Like, before we start to swear for one another, what is wrong with them?
First of all, it comes from when you are choosing the artisan. I study people, right?
Yes.
I look for people that have integrity. I look for people that have a teachable spirit. Integrity. There are many people who have integrity.
Okay.
Many of my shoemakers have worked with me for upwards of 15 years. Of my 21 plus years in business, many of them have worked with me. The least that has worked with me has worked with me like 7 years.
And they are Nigerians. So
they are even Yoruba, Igbo, whatever.
Because of that.
They are Nigerians. I'm being specific now. Do you understand?
Yes.
So, but people will treat you the way you treat them. I treat them like family. They were at my 60th birthday. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I treat them as human beings. Right now we're going into their health care. I pay health if there's a major whatever. Do you understand?
Yes.
And I'm also then found out that Lagos State has this health management scheme, I'm getting them on it. Like I said, we give them soft loans. We do different things for them, you know. So if we've done all of that for you, you must be a really nasty human being not to deliver. And like I said, we pay them well. So when you say, Munamatis, your shoes are not cheap, I said, they can't be cheap. It's human beings making them. And it takes hours. They must be well compensated for what they are doing. So I think of them as family and I treat them like that. That is not to say one or two will not misbehave. I give you a long rope to pull. After a while, if the marriage is not working, we go to divorce court. We go our separate ways.
Okay.
But even they will know that they have tried. You know? Yeah.
Now, we're almost wrapping up. I'd want to talk about the future of Monomachus. And because there's this thing that we don't have a knowledge transfer. It's almost as if you do something and that's where it ends after the person dies. Don't go yet. So what's the future in terms of knowledge transfer?
Well, like I said, I train people for a fee who want to run the business, shoemaking or a leather business. I teach them the business side of it.
Okay.
If they say, I want to learn how to make shoes, I'll attach them to the appropriate personnel to teach them the hands-on part of it, you know, so that, and we do have some people who have gone through that training, who have started running their businesses, or some people who were running their businesses before and wanted to upscale, and then they came to us for training. So we're open to that, you know, and we're also going to start a Mona Matthews shoe school. It had always been part of my dream.
So let's start it now.
But I've gotten to the point where it must come into fruition, by God's grace, very soon.
One last one before I let you go is, what are some of the valuable lessons business and Nigerian economy has taught you?
Well, one of them is that integrity is very important, and it stands you out, you know. I believe in telling the truth at all times, no matter what happens. Be very honest with your staff, honest with your customers, honest with your contractors. Let people know what's going on. And because, like, I believe that human nature, most people are good. They would relate with you better, you know. If something goes wrong and you bring it back, I take it, I repair it, or I replace it. That's my mantra, you know. And I found out that people appreciate that. So it's not like we don't make mistakes, but they know that we're ready to
pay for
make amends. Yes, and we go all the way to do that. You know, that makes a lot of difference. You've got to have faith, though. You've got to have faith to run a business. You've got to trust God that there's a higher power out there that is making things work for you, you know. So when people are saying, it's not good, Koda, they want to jackpot, me, my own is to jackpot that, because Nigeria is sweet, and it's going to get sweeter, I believe.
No problem. Lekon sends a message saying that, let's just agree that the guest is blessed to have the kind of stars she has. Artisans in the construction world are a different breed. There's nothing we don't give them, but they still mess up. They receive jobs from everywhere and be telling you, I'm coming. They will even tell you, I'm on my way, but will never turn up. I share your sentiments, right? And truly, she's been blessed with the kind of people that she's been working with. My time is up, right? But I'd like you to give us some words of... somebody's asking that, have you come across any knockoffs of your products? Hello? Please don't leave me.
Yes. I have.
How did you feel?
But if you're not wearing a Mona Matthews, you're not wearing a Mona Matthews. You yourself know that you're not wearing a Mona Matthews. So it doesn't pain me.
Okay.
It doesn't pain me at all.
Okay, then. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much for sharing wisdom with us this morning. I think I've exhausted all the questions that I have had with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. I enjoyed myself.
I enjoyed myself too. Well, so we come your way again next week, Saturday, like we always say on Signals. Dream again, create opportunities for people. And guess what? People will be people. Keep creating opportunities. Have a wonderful week and God bless. Use it, let it take you away, let me hold.